We're in the middle of Ishmael. The Maral explains how the Arba Malchuyos are connected a set of three animals and a set of one animal. There are three animals. I was asking my daughter what the difference between an Arnevis and a Shafan is. They don't really know. They tell me a Shafan's a rabbit, and an Arnevis is something else.
Hyrax.
No, they said it's not a Hyrax.
Is it a hair?
Hyrax.
I don't know. It's something very similar to a rabbit.
It's a Hyrax.
But the thing they have in common is that they chew their cud. A camel chews its cud. An Arnevis, whatever that is, chews its cud. A Shafan chews its cud. And the process of chewing cud takes place in private. It's not always so easy to see. So it's called, that means that the simen tahara of the animals is benister. That's the way you say it. Because they have a simen tahara, they have tahara to them. Bavel, Posimadai, Yavan, they have tahara. It's not obvious. That the outside is tuma. You can't see the tahara, you can't see any redeeming value in these three nations. But that's only on the outside. On the inside, they do have something that could express God's covered Kvod Shemayim. So that's it. That's why they're compared to animals, that they have one simen tahara. Which simen do they have? The one that's yoter pnimi, the one that's internal. The act of chewing one's cud, it's a private matter. It's not out for all to see. And all three animals, the camel, the Arnevis, whatever that is, and the Shafan, whatever that is, they chew their cud. So that means that they have a simen tahara in the mouth, and specifically in the mouth. The mouth represents the ability of expressing God's covenant through speech. But it's benister, it's something which you can't see on the outside, you can only see on the inside. And we all know it's the inside that counts anyway. So it means that deep down, somewhere at the very core, they can express Kvod Shemayim. And that's what they say. On the outside, they broadcast other messages. On the inside. And Edom is the opposite. The Simen Tahara is the hoofs. And the Pnimius is the, it's a pig. The pig does not chew its cud. That means that the Pnimius, the internalism of Edom has no Tahara whatsoever. The only Tahara that Edom has is they make a show of Tahara. They extend their hoofs to show everyone fake Tahara. It's a show, it's on the outside. They say, hey, look, we're tahara, and they show everyone the hoofs are out in the open, you can see that they're split, you can see they're tahara, but it's not real. It's not be'etzim, it's not atzmi. And that's Edom. We were speaking about this on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
But you were asking, Jordan was asking the difference between the three nations and Edom. He said that Edom has no Kvod Shemayim, and they're from the four directions, and you see that they're different than the other nations. Mm-hmm. And the other nations, they have a firm entrenchment in Kvod Shemayim, at least on the inside, and Edom does not, and they all come from the same point. You ask me, like, how did that come to be? Mm-hmm. How did that come to be? So we said two nekudas about Edom. That the other nations, so Yavan, so they only oppose Klal Yisrael in one area. They opposed Klal Yisrael in the Bechin of Seichel. But every other part of Klal Yisrael they accepted and they embraced. So it means the Yavan is not completely evil because they're only opposing Klal Yisrael in one area. And even though they did wage war against Klal Yisrael and they tried to obliterate certain aspects of Klal Yisrael, but the Maaseh not, this was only in one Bechin of Seichel. And Parsa Madai, They opposed Klal Yisrael that they wanted to own everything the Klal Yisrael owned. They wanted to swallow everything up, like a Ze'ev. And Bavel, they wanted the crown. But the very fact that they only opposed Klal Yisrael in one area, even though that to make some Rishayim. Rishayim, Arurim, Mishkasim, Gemurim. But if they're only opposing Klal Yisrael in one area, that means in the other areas, they're not opposing Klal Yisrael. I mean, Bavel is not opposing the Torah, the connection Klal Yisrael has with the Torah. And Paras and Madai, they're not trying to be a melech over Klal Yisrael. That's not their main goal. I mean, they'll want to be a melech over Klal Yisrael in order to get all their possessions. But they're not going to want to be a melech just for the sake of being a melech. So it means that they have a shachas to the melech of Klal Yisrael, so they're not kulera. And the tithe of these three nations, it's on the inside, you can't see it. Because they're so evil on the outside that you can't even see the good on the inside. But it's there. But Edom is a combination of all three. That means they have, it's a combination, it's a synthesis between the Hisnagdus of Bavel, that they oppose Malchus by Klal Yisrael, the Hisnagdus of Paras by Madai, that they oppose Klal Yisrael having their possessions, they want all the possessions of Klal Yisrael, and the Hisnagdus of Yavin, that they want to tear Klal Yisrael away from the Torah, because if they can't have it, they don't want Klal Yisrael to have it. So it means that that's by definition that Rome or Edom is going to be Kulei Ra. Because if you have one out of three bad things, you're not Kulei Ra. If you're three for three, then you're Kulei Ra. That was one Nekuda we spoke about. And the other Nekuda we spoke about was, it's Masha, the Rambam, that Edom does have a tikkun. Lagos Hayamim, in the time of the final redemption, there will be a chance for Edom to redeem themselves. They're also, you know, at the time when Mashiach reveals himself, there's some that are going to be worthy, some Gentiles that are going to be worthy. That they will come to certain conclusions, and they will recognize the emes, and there'll be a chelik of the redemption, and they'll be able to live, you know, and go on, and be a chelik of the redemption. But Edom is Kulei Ra. You know, Yavan, Paras and Madai, Bavel, you could imagine that there's some good ones among them, and there's some that are not totally evil, and they could get in touch with that good part of themselves at the time before it's too late, you know, right by the time of the Gula. But Edom's Kulei Ra, how is it possible? Someone that's Kulei Ra could be part of something, and it could be part of a gilev, a revelation, that everything that they stand for is totally evil. So that's something my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shlita spoke about. That in the time of the Geula, you could have Yevanim that they mark the emes, and you'll have Yevanim that arrive at the truth. And they arrived at the truth as Yevanim. You know, Greek philosophers, Greek scholars, and they'll arrive at the emes, you know, after thousands of years of toys of Sheker, they will arrive at the emes, and they'll arrive at emes as Greeks, that they're going to view the world through the prism, through the spectacles of being a Greek, and they'll see the emes as a Greek, and they will be good Greeks. They will be good Greeks. And there'll be good Persians. And there'll be good Medians.
And they still
have values? Their values are going to be the emes. But their role in the world is not Jewish. And they're not going to convert to Judaism. They want to be good Gentiles. They want to play the role that Greek has in God's master plan. In God's master plan, there is a role that only the Greeks could fulfill, or only the Persians could fulfill. And they're not doing a very good job of it now. And they're not interested in fulfilling God's agenda. They're going on their own agenda. But Lasad Lava, there will be Greeks, that they will realize that the Greeks were created for a purpose as Goyim. And they have a purpose as Greeks. Because Greeks are not totally evil. They're only one-third. But two-thirds of them are good. And even though you don't see it, but it's hidden, it's in the pneumius. Edim is totally evil. On the other hand, Edim could have a tikkun, that there could be people from Edim that will have a tikkun. So how does that work? That works that someone from Edom could only have a tikkun if he ceases being Edom. There's no such thing as a good Edom. If someone breaks away from it and ceases to view themselves in the Edom, he throws off all the Edomism contributed to him, so then he could have a tikkun. That means he doesn't have to be a Jew. Nobody, I guess. He won't be anything, because he won't be in the dome. He won't be a Jew. He'll just be Joe the plumber, you know. He'll be a good plumber. If they ask him what nation he's from, they'll say, I'm Joe the plumber. No nationality, yeah. And a passport. What nationality? Joe the plumber. It's his own nationality. He's got his own place. His own thing. So that's how you understand it, that the people, the individuals from Edom have the same chance as any other nation, but only as individuals, not as members of the nation. Because the nation is totally evil. And why is it totally evil? Because it opposes everything the Klai is supposed to answer. And now we're getting to Yishma. Yishma Yadam Shayalim, they're those that ask. Ve'echen rimas machas Yishmael. Where's Yishmael in all this? In the dreams, there's a parallel to Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavin, and Edom. There's no fifth one. There's only four. Where's Yishmael in all this? She's machas for opposite of Takifa. And don't think that it's insignificant. It's a very large and strong machas. It should be mentioned. So the first terrors he gives is that the psukim the Daniel and all the psukim that are around is the four Malchias. The pasuk of Tayyu, Vavayu, Chayshah, Apnei Sahim is Miramis to the four Malchias. The animals, the Gamal, the Nevis, the Shafan, and the Khazir, that's the four Malchias. They all deal with four because they don't have their own Malchus. Bavel had no Shachas to be a Malchus. Bavel was an uncultured, unlettered nation, poor excuse of a nation. They had nothing. They certainly had no Malchus. But when they conquered Yerushalayim, they took someone else's Malchus. They took Klal Yisrael's Malchus. They took the holy Malchus called Kaddish Nilayim. They took a celestial Malchus. And they took it, they stole it, they got it up and they took it for themselves. And then Paras Hamadai did the same thing. They took Klal Yisrael's Malchus away from Bavel, and Yavin took Klal Yisrael's Malchus away from Paras Hamadai, and Edom took Klal Yisrael's Malchus away from Yavin. And that's what we're talking about, and therefore, as long as there's any of one of those four nations that wears a crown in this world, so Klal Yisrael can't come back. It's impossible. Because if Edom has Klal Yisrael's crown, so Klal Yisrael doesn't have a crown. If Edom has Klal Yisrael's Malchus, if they capture Klal Yisrael and they rule with the power that's given to them because they overpowered Klal Yisrael, so they're wearing Klal Yisrael's crown. If Edom is wearing Klal Yisrael's crown, then there is only one Klal Yisrael's crown, and it can't be shared. So Klal Yisrael can't wear Klal Yisrael's crown when Edom's wearing it. So the beginning of Zekam Zenaifa, it's impossible for Klal Yisrael to ever rule at the same time that one of these other nations rule. It can't be. There's only one crown. Either Klal Yisrael has it.
It's not a process. It's one or the other.
It's one or the other. It's that. It's that.
It's still build up.
At one point, the crown is going to shift from one head to the next.
When was the last time we had the crown?
In the times of the first base of Middash. But Yishmael's not like that. Yishmael has Yishmael crown. So it's really interesting. There's only two crowns in this world. There's Klal Yisrael's crown and Yishmael's crown. And anyone else that rules has to share Klal Yisrael's crown.
The bonus, right?
Mitzrayim is like a source of the four nations. Mitzrayim produced the four nations. So they also took like, who ruled Mitzrayim? Who made Mitzrayim into a world power? Did Mitzrayim have the power? Did Mitzrayim have the malchus to be the world power? It was Yosef HaTzadik that made Mitzrayim into what it was. The Mitzrayim ruled the entire world, and the entire world came down to Mitzrayim, and they paid homage to Mitzrayim, and they brought all the wealth to Mitzrayim, and it was Yosef. It was only Yosef. So Mitzrayim was wearing Yosef's crown. That's an excellent example. There's an excellent example of the Mitzrayim was the parent. Mitzrayim gave birth to Babel, Parsamadai, Yavan, and Rome. The Pasuk says in Shemais, Vayihi Bayamim Harabim Hahem, and it was in those many days. Yamim Harabim. Rabim is Resh Beis Yud Mem. The Bnei Yisachar says it's a remez. Resh is Rome, Beis is Babel, Yud is Yavan, and Mem is Madai. Rabim. It was in the days of Romi, Babel, Yavan, and Madai, because Mitzrayim had all of them. Mitzrayim gave birth to these four nations. These four nations emerged from Mitzrayim.
What do you say about Edom?
It's Rome. Edom is Rome. But Yishmael is not among them. There's two crowns. There's the crown of Yishmael and the crown of Klal Yisrael, which means that Yishmael could have a crown at the same time Klal Yisrael could have a crown, or Yishmael could lose their crown at the same time Klal Yisrael loses their crown. They could both be without a crown. We call sans a crown. They could be sans a crown, or they could be with crown. So that's why, so that's his first teretz. His first teretz is that they have their own crown, so they're not mentioned along with the other four. And the reason why they got their own crown, because Avraham Avinu davened for it. They're the sons of Ibrahim. And Avraham Avinu davened for Yishmael, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha, he asked of God that Yishmael should live in front of you. That means that Yishmael should have a crown. He should rule. And Hashem answered Avram's Trila. And Hashem said, the Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. As far as Yishmael is concerned, God heard Avram. So he has his own crown. So he's not mentioned with the other ones. The other teretz he gives, which is V'yesh and Nir Alayma. So the second teretz he considers to be the main teretz. Yishmael who b'chlal makas paras. Yishmael is in the four. Yishmael is included in Persia. So you have Babel, Paras Amad Yishmael, Yavin, and Edom. So that's the second teretz. His first teretz is that Yishmael is not one of the four because they didn't get their crown from Klal Yisrael. The second teretz is that Yishmael is part of the four. He's included in Persia. Persia and the Arabs. Two separate nations, but one is inside the other. Avagav Shamar Malchus Acharei Uparas. The Daniel said that the second nation is Persia. Daniel was interpreting the dream. He said, first came Babel, and afterwards came Persia. Like Sir Paras prepares Bukasov. The Pasuk never mentioned Persia as being the second one. That's the Medrash. Paras is included in the second Malchus. The second Malchus is Yishmael. So the Maral seems to be saying that the second Malchus is Yishmael, and Persia is a part of that. It is one of the four Malchus. And so this is something which the Maral talks about. Oh my. Excuse me. I'm so embarrassed. Spread it over the place. One second, I've got a towel.
Really? The corner of the first teretz. What point did Klal Yisrael get the Malchus?
Kleisel?
Yes.
Pashas Kleisel got the Malchus in time of Avram.
Right, so then, what's the terrace? Avram gave him a bracha to get Malchus. Who, like, Avram didn't have a Malchus.
Sure, was. You see how it came out of the Zachary, and it's even
The aside from the first tariff, the second tariff, seems to totally be opposite, as in the first one could be.
Yeah, the two tariffs are mutually exclusive.
So, how do they. And the first one makes sense, according to
Rabbi. It do make sense, because even like the second tariff, it's not obvious that Ishmael is the second Malchus. They're part of it. You know, it's not like a...
I'm saying, if Yishmael could be... In the first tariff, Yishmael could have a Malchus at the same time as Paras Madai, same time as Babel, same time as whatever. The second one... No, it's not true. Only one of them have a Malchus at a time.
So why did Klai Yishmael get his Malchus by Tavid while Yishmael got it from Avram?
No, Klai Yishmael also got it from Avram. It just came up in the time of Dov. No. Klai Yishmael got it from Avram also. Avram Avinu was called a Melech. It says Be'emek HaMelech.
See, David was the one who's Mechadish Malchus into the world, though.
Yeah. Avram Avinu's Malchus. Well, David's an Enochal of Avram Avinu.
Right, but it wasn't.
He happens to be related.
Happens to be, but Avram wasn't the one who was Mechadish.
Sure, he was. Avram himself was a Melech. It's just he wasn't a Melech in Klai Yisrael. There was no Klai Yisrael.
Avram
was a Melech over the whole world.
So what does that mean then that David was Mechadish, Avram was Mechadish?
I never said he was Mechadish. It came out in the time of David that there was a Malchus in Klai Yisrael.
Then why is an Avram Zemita Malchus instead of Chesed?
Because Avram has all the Midas. Chesed is the first of the Midas, and all the Midas come from him. Avram Avinu is in Shmanesrei, we say, Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yankov, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram. And the Chasima is Elkei Avram. Because everything starts with Chesed. Chesed is the first of the Midas. And because Hashem wants to be Mashpiyah Chesed, so the other Midas were created to help Hashem, to enable Hashem to do Chesed. But everything starts with Chesed. Mm-hmm. The Midah of Chesed is to go outside of yourself. Without Chesed, there's no Din, there's no Teferis, there's none of the Midas. All Midas are only possible because you start out with Chesed to be go outside of yourself. That you should spread and go places where you weren't before. So yeah, Avraham Avinu was the Haskalah of Malchus, but David HaMelech was where it came out. But David HaMelech is a grandson of Avraham.
Yoni says he's sorry, he had to run out. Something Yeshiva needs to attend to, he said.
So it's in this is about Morale is a sefer in Netzach Yisrael.
Yeah.
This is in Perchaf Aleph, and there's something very prophetic in the words of the Morale in sefer Netzach. Very negay lemaisa. Ikar appears the main pshat ki Malchus Yishmael, for Malchus Paras Hakol Malchus Echad, they're all one Malchus, just like he says in Ner Mitzvah. The one. Ki elu dal malchus hem chulakim v'hanagasa. Ben zeh k'mei zeh. He said that each one of the four malchus has their own culture, and they don't have anything in common with each other. They all have their own. L'paros malchus Yishmael hem malchus echad. Paras and Yishmael, they might be descended from two different lines. Maybe they're not related to each other biologically in that way. But their culture is very similar. Kashen ha-gaseyem, the way they run things, umaseyem, and their actions, shavim are the same. V'davar yaduhu, it's well known. This is the time of the Maral, a few hundred years ago. Ki Malchus Paras and Malchus Yishmael, Persia and Arabia, in Daiman, they're similar, Veshavim Binyaneim, Banagasem, and all the matters and all the dealings. The question is, like, where is Yishmael among the four nations? Why aren't they mentioned as a fifth one? And the answer is because it's so similar to the second one that they don't deserve to be mentioned on their own. They're very similar. And this is Persia and the Arab countries. Iran. Iranians are not Arabs. They're Muslims. They're not Arabs. They're like Phoenicians. Like, they're not Arabs.
They're not.
No, they're not Arabs. They're Muslims.
They're not Arabs.
They're not Arabs.
Not a lot of Muslims Arabs.
I thought Turkans weren't Arabs, but they
also not. Same thing.
What's an Arab?
Yishma'elim.
Towelheads.
That's what I thought.
Cool, clearly.
Towelheads, except for the Indians. Those are Arabs.
Okay, your definition of Arabs is too broad for tonight's topic. We have to be didactic more.
Close to Babel?
No. Iran.
Persia, were they?
Iran?
Yeah.
Persia.
And which one of the four is it?
That's Parsa Mada.
What do we see about Parsa Mada? It's in Lan Yishmael.
I mean, it's the same country, literally, as Persia. I mean, I hear that much, but like. Persia, Iran. Was that Iraq? They're in, no?
So let's go a little weiter, okay? This is something which... Mom sucks a bit, Zara. It's right in the beginning. The Gemara talks about the nations being judged. Hashem is going to judge the nations. It's going to come the Yom HaDin. And they're going to defend themselves. You know, the Romans are going to be judged. And they're going to say, that how could we be judged? How could we be judged harshly? We fought so many wars, we built bridges and roads, and we only did it for Klal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
And Hashem tells them, Shaitan, the bridges that you built, the wars that you waged, you didn't do it for Klal Yisrael, you did it for yourself. So Hashem gives them one last chance. He's going to give them a mitzvah kala. You give them a mitzvah sukkah. You do the mitzvah, then you'll live. You'll survive the din. If not, then you won't. That's a famous Gemara. But the kasha that the Gemara asks is that the ones that are brought to din are Edom and Paras. And that's a kasha. There's four nations. There's Bavel and Yavan also. There's Bavel, Yavan, Edom, Paras. And Hashem only judges Edom and Paras. Why only Edom and Paras? What about Bavel and Yavan? They don't get judged. You know, why didn't Yavan talk about all the statues that they built only for Klal Yisrael? And Bavel talk about all the Batei Mikdashim that they destroyed only for the sake of Klal Yisrael? Bavel didn't really have too many accomplishments. But what is it? All the ziggurats that we built. They built ziggurats. They're ziggurats! And the Gemara totally ignores two of the four nations. It ignores Bavel. And the Gemara asks the
powers.
This is the Gemara's kasha. Maishna, the kasha trei hani trei machusa. The Persia and Edom I singled out. And not the other ones. The Gemara answers, "Shem Damashki Machus Hayad Bias of Mashiach," because there's no Babylonian Empire right now. There's no Babylonian anything right now. It's defunct. There's no Greek Empire anymore. There's Greek salad. Mm. It exists as a hair formula. It's a nothing country. It's bottle. Greek. Just think. The Greece was the only, you know, Greece ruled the entire known world.
The bee's knees.
Yavon, Alexander the Great. He ruled the entire world. And now it's nothing. Does anybody care what Greece says nowadays? Do they have a say in world affairs? Is anyone intimidated by... Last time we saw a Greek, did you say, "Oh, you be a Greek, he's so powerful, I'll get away from him." He didn't even care about the Greeks. They're a bunch of nothings, a bunch of nobodies.
My grandma's pretty scary.
Your grandmother's scary.
She's Greek?
Your grandmother's Greek. Your
mother's Greek.
Your grandmother. Okay, that's scary. Persia is Iran. Iran is still going.
They're not world power.
Yeah, they got some, they will be.
They got some nuclear.
Just wait a week.
Nuclear stuff going on.
Well, first, even without, even without, gas all over the world. Right, even without, right, their financial power, they fuel terrorism all over the world. The whole world is afraid of them.
Where's China?
I don't know.
On
China's is from Avraham Avinu. So the Gemara says the reason why these two nations are brought to judgment is because their Malkus is going to be there in existence when Melech HaMashiach comes. That there will be a Persian dynasty and there will be a Roman Empire at the time when Mashiach comes. And there won't be Babylonians and there won't be Greeks. Mm-hmm. So the Maral asks, so why does their Malkus, you know, why does their Malkus last that long? What's the reason behind that? Why not? Why doesn't Babel last that long? Why doesn't Madai or Yavan? There's a Gersa thing here. Some may have a Gersa Madai, some have a Gersa Yavan. Either one. But Khalil Dvar Tavin, you have to understand that there's something about these nations. Paris is not just the regular Paris, is Yishmael. Yishmael has their own Malchus. Edom is not an ordinary nation. Edom has all the Kaikos around the world. So both Yishmael and Edom, they're unique. Yishmael, they have their own source of Malchus that they got from Avraham Avinu's Tefillah. And Edom, even they got their Malchus from Yavan, who got it from Barzamadai, who got it, you know, from Bavel. You know, the Esav didn't get from Avram. That's the thing. He didn't Yashin. Yishmael Yashin from Avram, Esav didn't. Esav was only able to get Melucha by capturing Klal Yisrael. Esav did not have their own Malchus. But Esav is evil incarnate. They have all the Ra in the world. So before the time of Mashiach, there will be an empire that represents all the Ra in the world. It's Edom. There'll also be an empire that represents a competitive Malchus, that they have their own Malchus, and both of them are going to be Bottle. So it's not so important for Bavel to be there in the time of Mashiach, because when they're Bottle, it doesn't mean that much. It's getting rid of another Russia. There's plenty of Rishayim around to get rid of. And the same thing, you know, for Yavan. But Edom, the Bittle of Edom should take place at the time of Mashiach, because it's the bittul of combined evil, and the bittul of Yishmael should take place before Melech HaMashiach, because it's the bittul of the competitor, the one who has their own legitimate Melucha. And the Gemara says in Yuma, "I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the name of Rabbi Danasi, Asida Shetibal Edom Biad Paras." So Edom is the one that their Malchus is going to last until Melech HaMashiach, and Paras is going to last until Melech HaMashiach. And Paras is Yishmael. So we're talking about.
Do we see that in the Purim story?
What?
Do we see that in the Megillah at all?
No, I don't, no offhand, I don't, I can't think of anything. He's asking me if there's a Remus in Miguel's Esther to Yishmael's infiltration of Paris. Asida Shatipa, Adam beyond Paras. Adam is going to meet their end at the hands of Paras. That means that the Romans, that Romans are Christians. Rome is Italy. Italy is the Vatican. Vatican is the Pope. Asidus Shetibel Edom Biad Paras. Amarav Rav argues Asidus Paras Yem Shibel Biad Edom. The Persians are going to fall by the hands of Edom. Two shittas.
What was the first shitta?
The Romans are going to fall at the hands of the Persians.
That's Rabbi Yeshua?
That was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Ain ben David ba, Mashiach's not going to come at Shetivshin Machas or Shara B'chol Enim Kula, Tisha Chadashim. Machas B'Shara is Rome. The Rome is going to spread over the whole world. It will establish a dynasty over the entire world for 9 months. And until that time, Mashiach ben David's not going to come. So Maral says, why 9 months? There's two things that happen in 9 months. And this is according to the Shita that the Paris is going to fall in the hands of Edom, Rome. One thing that's going to happen in 9 months is that Rome is going to overpower every other powers and destroy them. So the only power left standing is going to be Rome, is going to be Edom. And that's the nature of Rome, is that they destroy the destroyers. They live to destroy. Anything they do is in order to destroy. Even when they build, they're building in order to destroy. And that's their teva. And they destroy everything. Everything's just harv. And the only power that's left is them. And that's what they're going to be doing during 9 months. So at the end of 9 months, everyone's going to fall to Edom. 9 months is the time that a baby is formed. Tisha Yachileda. During those 9 months, Klal Yisrael, as we know it, is going to undergo a rebirth. We're going to be forced to change. Because Baruch Hu is going to lead the world down a path that we're no longer going to be able to stay the same. It'll be clear to us that we have to remake ourselves. At the end of 9 months, where everything in the world that we know, all the cultures, all the diverse cultures, all the other competing forces, are all destroyed by Edom, it's going to be a terrible time. At the end of 9 months of that, the Klal Yisrael that emerges from the end of the 9 months is going to be a new Klal Yisrael. They won't be the same ones that were at the time when Edom first gained ascendancy.
How do we know it's going to be terrible?
The Gemara says that Yesev Leyechmina, it's called Kabbalah Mashiach. There's any lady that had birth pangs. It's terrible. It's birth pangs. Chevle Mashiach, the tkufa of Mashiach is called Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Messiah. The birth pangs of Messiah, who's born? If the period is called the birth pangs of Messiah, who is born? You can't have birth pangs without a birth. The Maharal says Klal Yisrael is born, because they're going to be unrecognizable from what they were before the period of Mashiach. The period of Mashiach is going to transform Klal Yisrael into a newborn baby.
What was the point of that time period?
That was the point.
The pre-9 month.
Well, that's now. I'm saying it's the pre-9 month. That's the whole world. I mean, the 9 months is when the world is going through the final preparations for Mashiach to come. Before the 9 months is now. That was right now is before the 9 months. What's the point of now? Now is now.
It shouldn't be now.
Is the whole point the rebirth? First place.
You can't be, you know, you need a preparation in order to be reborn. Someone that's not prepared to go on to a better existence, the rebirth process will not affect him. You know, we do our best. You know, the Chazal say that we spend our whole lifetime from the time we're born until Ad Meiv Esrim and becoming the best seed that we possibly could be. That's the culmination of a life's achievement, is to be a seed. And then after death, they take the seed and plant it in the ground. Like you do all seeds. So that's our purpose, is to become a seed. What we do now, before this period, is what is the seed for the baby that's going to be born after 9 months. When the baby's born after 9 months, then Edom is going to hand over the crown to that baby.
Does it speak about those 9 months? Or is it vague 9 months?
There's psukim to talk about what's going to be to have the Mashiach.
So at the end of 9 months is Mashiach, but during those 9 months it's during the...
That's have the Mashiach. See, Amalchus Revius Maisha Island, the Romans are going to rule over the land. The Roman Malchus, the Malchus Revius, the one that spread over the entire world, the one that destroys every other power, at the end of 9 months, they're going to hand over their crown to Melech HaMashiach. And the crown is going to come back to Klal Yisrael. Because they're going to have the Melech Rome, they have Klal Yisrael's crown. They're going to give it back. There's not going to be two powers left. Rome and Yishmael, Rome and Paras. One of them is going to emerge, the other one's going to disappear. And only one of them is going to give the crown back. So Persia's going to fall, according to this opinion. And then Rome is going to rule. And they're going to hand the crown to Melech HaMashiach. This is not, you know, there's no commentary necessary on this. The words of the Gemara and Yuma are coming alive in our very times. I mean, you see the entire world is involved in either a conflict or a one-upsmanship, you know, between Paras and Edom, and the world is going towards a clash. It's going very, you know, all the world events are part of a plan to bring these two nations against each other. And we see this, you know, the Iranians are developing nuclear arms.
This is still like a big
It sort of took a back burner because the biggest threat to world peace was ISIS. was the Israelis getting attacked by the Gazans and actually shooting back. Everyone knows that.
This is still like a.
It's interesting. It still is being overshadowed by the Iranians are getting away with it because there's so many other things that are drawing people's focus away from what's going on in Iran. They actually need the Iranians. There's something worse than the Iranians. It's called ISIS. They're even worse than the Iranians. They make the Iranians look like Girl Scouts.
Yeah, they're just beheading people like.
And you know, there's a lot of pressure to work together with the Iranians, and to harness their power against the ISIS terrorists. The United States. They just they had an airstrike. President Obama is assuring the American public that there's not going to be any ground invasions, and they're going to deal with this terrorist threat with missile strikes from the air forces alone, without going in on the ground. Which anyone knows, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work, but he's saying it, and he thinks it's going to work. So he just bombed some terrorist rebels. Except they accidentally hit a grain silo with some kind of terrorist target, because grain silos are known to be very dangerous. Grain silos could grain silos, and they look like missiles, don't they?
There'd be weedles inside of like the grain.
There's grain silos, and they killed an untold amount of civilians. Killed some
hypocrites.
They killed some farmers with their. And all the grain went up in smoke. They eliminated the terrorist threat in the grain silo. But it's not funny. There's a Muhammad. There's a Muhammad brewing. And the Muhammad is mamish that area. The area, Iran, Iraq, Syria, it's mamish that area. It's that area. And there's a Muhammad between the second Malchus, which is Yishmael / Paras Amadai. You see the alliances between the Persians and Yishmael, and the Malchus Revius, which is Adam. And Adam is Christianity, Adam is Western culture, Adam is all the values of Western culture. That's what Adam is. And both of those Malchus are going to last till Melech HaMashiach. And there's a Machlaikus, which one is going to fall in the hands of whom? And this is the total when the time of the Gula comes, this will be the Bittul of the Kayakara. The Kayakara is nisbata not just by eliminating individual nations, it's by eliminating collective nations, a nation that collectively is Kail inside of it, Gula Hara.
What classification goes for other places? In other words, like Brazil, Mexico, but these places that have never been involved in these countries.
And generally, the places in the lower hemisphere are not really part of things.
So what classification are they in there? I don't.
They don't have their own identity. They're under something else. In the minor countries. You say in the Sanatagaval, Medina's Boye Yama, Ezel Afarab, Ezel Arab. Well, last year was Nigzar Rosh Hashanah, that an entire country is going to be held hostage.
It's still being held hostage?
I'm saying Israel was held hostage. The entire country, was had millions of people held hostage by some Ishigayim. And we didn't come out of it very good. When you think about what was accomplished, what happened? It's already looking at it with hindsight. What happened? What was accomplished? What changed? Very little.
Like a few years ago, the same thing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, but this time the Israelis said they're not going to let it happen.
And then?
Because you see, you don't have freedom. When it comes to the Muhammad's between nations, when it comes to the Muhammad's between the great nations, that the Malchus is Nimshach and Melech HaMashiach, so our Bechira is very limited. It's very, very limited. There's certain things that are going to happen. They're going to happen when they happen. And it doesn't matter how strong, how powerful, how mighty you are. You're going to be powerless. It's not going to... You're not going to be able to. It's just preposterous. They left before finishing the job. Again. And now they're having negotiations with a terrorist entity that is dedicating to wiping us out of existence. And it's Malchus Edom that's enforcing that us. Malchus Edom is forcing us to deal with the ones of Malchus Paras that are trying to kill us. And not only that, they're forcing us, Malchus Edom is forcing us to negotiate and deal with those of Malchus Paras that are trying to kill us at the same time when Malchus Paras is trying to destroy Malchus Edom. And that's what's going on. So we're living through very difficult times, on the one hand. And the other time, we're living through a living Medrash. We're living through a living Gemara. We don't need the events to unfold the way they are in order to say, oh, the Gemara was right. We know the Gemara was right. We don't need to support it by current events. But we should get a chizuk that we're living through the pages of a Gemara, Masech Zuma. This is the Masech Zuma in Zman. This is the Masech Zuma in paper. And this is the Masech Zuma in Zman. This is a living Gemara. Right, we're getting closer to the end. And it's a very dangerous time. It's a very, very, it's a time of great danger, great sakanas, mamar sakanas nefashas. The limit of sukkas habalin l'taiva is that we don't seek protection like other nations seek protection. They seek protections in natural ways. There's a roof over your head. There's a bunker. They go to Gaza. Who knows how many feet of concrete were above their head and they're beneath the hospital. They put their bataka in that. And we go into a sukkah that has schach on top. It doesn't help when it comes to nuclear holocaust. The schach. We put our betachon Hashem. We should be zeichet to betzach nefach v'atas tirani. That we should be hiding. We should be protected in the shade of Hashem's sukkah. The safest place is in the shade of Hashem's sukkah. Mm-hmm. I could give a shiur.
Fun fact, the only other nation in history that put their hand on their heart.